Welcome to this week's Sunday School lesson. This lesson will conclude our quarterly study in the book of Ephesians. Unfortunately, this three-month study has been during the COVID-19 or the China plague, whatever you want to call it. We have not been in Sunday school class during this time. It's all been on media. If you've missed any of the lessons in the book of Ephesians or this quarter, I encourage you to go to the website, morningstarbaptistchurch.com, and look on the teaching link, and you should find all of the lessons. This lesson today is in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at 10 through 24, the verses. And again, it will conclude our quarterly study. We will start a new study next week. I'm praying the Lord will haste today that we can get back into Sunday school, back within the church doors. And even the classes itself. But I know the Lord is in control of all of that. And we'll do it in His timing. The title of our lesson today is Our Struggle and Strength in Christ. Let me just start off by saying I'm not your enemy. The preacher, the pastor, is not your enemy. Sometimes we fundamental independent Baptists fight against each other while a world of lost sinners is going to hell. We need to realize that Satan and his angels are the real enemy. We do have three enemies that we have to contend with each day in this journey. One enemy, or the first enemy, is ourself. Just look in the mirror and we'll find our greatest enemy. The second enemy is the world. This world system will hinder us from serving God. Especially the materialistic and jobs and careers and even family and homes. And then number three enemy is Satan. And of course his angels, demons. And that's what we're going to focus on today in today's lesson. And today's lesson will emphasize that we are in a spiritual warfare. But we'll also learn today that the Lord gives us strength and protection from our enemies. Before God created man, He created the angelic beings. Within the angels, there appears to be a hierarchy. There's cherubims and seraphims. The Bible calls living creatures, and then the Bible also mentions at least one archangel. And that archangel is Michael. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers preach, teachers teach, and I'm even guilty myself, that there's three archangels in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel, and Satan. However, the only archangel that the Bible actually lists as an archangel is Michael. Now, these other three angels, the Bible does list by name. And it appears from the Bible that they have specific ministries. Whenever the archangel Michael is mentioned, he's always mentioned as a warrior. He commands the angelic armies of God. Gabriel holds a special position, and whenever we find Gabriel mentioned in the Bible, it's usually as a messenger. And then there's an anointed cherub. His name is Lucifer, or Satan, or the devil. Of course, they're all the same. We find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, and the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 12 through 15, that Lucifer fell into sin due to his pride, his arrogance, and his desire to take the place of God on the throne. We also read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, verse 4, we find that when Lucifer rebelled, he apparently took a third of the angels with him. Lucifer, or known as Satan, and his fallen angels, called demons, are at war with Christians today, and he's after Christ. Satan does not have the attributes of God. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent. He does not know our heart like God does. And there's only one Satan, and let me just say that we're no match for him. I doubt very seriously that Satan himself has ever visited any of us. But I will say this, he sure has a lot of demons that hinders us, seems like, on a daily basis. And they know our weaknesses. They can watch us. They observe us. They know what it takes to trip us up and to put those temptations in front of us. And they will tempt us. They'll try their best to hinder us in our Christian walk. If they can get us to stumble and fall, and other people that may be watching our Christian lives that may have come to Christ, and then they see us fall and fail, and it keeps someone else from being saved, then Satan or his demons has accomplished what they set out to do. So you may ask, Brother Tommy, why are we spending all this time talking about Satan and his demons? Well, the reason is because he's our enemy. To fight against spiritual enemies, we need spiritual weapons. One of the strategies for every great commander is to know the enemy and to know what the enemy is up to and how to defeat the enemy. We go through life and we know it's a struggle. And the Bible says it's even more than a struggle, it's a battle. I think our past president was wicked and tried to destroy America. But he's nothing compared to the spiritual battles that we face every day. We saw in the past few weeks what a difference it makes when just one Christian takes a stand. Of course, we saw that in the Bible with the Apostle Paul, how one man made a difference. But even in today, we have men like the CEO of Chick-fil-A, Mr. Cathy, that takes a stand and says, I'll not open my restaurant on Sunday. He takes a stand and says, I am a Christian, and we're going to do what's right by Christ. And it seems like every time that they try to attack Chick-fil-A, then their sales goes up and through the roof, as Christians will turn out and support them. Hobby Lobby and several others, there are some good Christian companies that will put Christ over the almighty dollar. Well, can I just say we too can make a difference? When done all to stand, just stand. In Christ, we have the strength, we have the power to keep Satan's demons away. Let's look into our text, looking at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, starting with verse 10. This is where we left off last week. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We should not join the ranks with the world. We should stand out, and people should know that we're peculiar. And we are overcomers. We have power, like a flashlight has consistent power by the battery that you're placing that flashlight. We have that consistent power that God places in us, even the moment that we were saved. If God be for us, who can be against us? We need people today to be strong in the Lord. Christians are not wimps. If we are Christ-like, we'll learn that suffering will come and that we must go on. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. We need to stand fast. We need to be immovable. Anchored down. Planted down. Not go with the wind. We need to stand for some things, especially in these days. 2 Timothy 4:7, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. We're fighting the same enemy that the Apostle Paul fought. We're running a race like the Apostle Paul ran. The finish line is in sight. Any day now, the Lord is going to come. We see it lining up. All of these events taking place today. Perilous times, the Bible says. Disasters and storms and tornadoes and hurricanes, all of this is just like the Bible says was going to happen in the last days. So let's finish our course. Let's don't give up. Let's don't give in. We've gone too far to turn back now. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, just like a football player is not going to just put on half of his uniform, he's not going to leave off his shoulder pads or leave off his helmet or leave off his pads. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And this is a command by our captain. Put on the whole armor of God has given us all the tools that we need. But we have to put them on. We have to use them. And this is a daily process. And just like our military gets up every day, puts on their helmets, their boots, we need to put on our protection. Why? That we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, what does that word wiles mean? Wiles means strategy or a tactic. It's the devil's game plan. It also means to lie in wait to deceive. Gives the picture of someone sneaking up on you. Satan has two main wiles or strategies, and that's to accuse and to deceive. And we need protection from Satan's wiles. The armor, the whole armor, will enable us to stand against those wiles of the devil. Stand means to be firm, to be established, to be fixed, to be anchored. We don't have to let the devil push us around. We can stand our ground and fight. Because the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's found in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Can I just say, in our own strength, we are no match for the devil, but if we put on that whole armor of God and we're walking with him, then God through us, and we take a stand, the devil will flee. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That word wrestle is a very descriptive word to describe our spiritual battle. Who do we wrestle against? I know church members, family, co-workers. No, it's a spiritual warfare against Satan and his evil forces. And we can't see them physically, but we do know they are real. We know our enemy's two main wiles or tactics. We know where he's come from, and we know where he's going. And we know our enemies are rulers of darkness. There's too many people today playing around with the dark side. Even teenagers are involved in gothic and the dark side and body piercing and satanic and evil music. Satan has deceived them. So where does the battle take place? It says in high places, in the heavenlies. When we're saved, we're made to sit in heavenly places. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. We looked at several weeks ago. So since we sit in heavenly places, we can see views of life that a lost world cannot see. We see the realness of the war and the wickedness of the enemy. We see the need to win the battles, the need to stand our ground and not to give place to the devil. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're no match for Satan. We're no match for his forces in ourselves, as we've already said. That's why God gave us the armor. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Wherefore, it says, wherefore, since our enemy is so dark, too powerful for a human to fight in our own strength, the only way we can stand against such evil powers is to take unto us the whole armor of God. If we try to fight without having on this whole armor, we'll wear out in the heat of the battle. God's power that we have available as his dear children is higher than the enemy that is in high places. Ephesians 1 talks about that great power of Jesus we looked at the start of this quarter. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in word, but also in that which is to come. So we can win. We will be able to withstand if and only if we suit up with the whole armor of God. Verse 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the first piece of armor here listed is the belt of truth. If the Roman, in the Roman armor, everything hung from the belt. They even tucked in their long clothes to keep it away from their feet. Truth is the belt that holds the other armor together for us spiritually. God's word is truth. His person, his character, the fundamentals of our faith, what we believe. If we're anchored in truth, the devil will have a hard time attacking us. We're to walk in truth. Don't lie. Don't deceive. The devil is the opposite of truth. He is a liar and the father of it. We should walk in truth and integrity. And then the next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. This is the armor that covers the part of our body where our heart and our lungs and our organs. Normally the Roman breastplate would have the names of the one they were fighting for. The righteousness that protects us is Jesus' righteousness. It tells us in Isaiah that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the righteousness of Jesus imputed in the accounts of his children will protect us from Satan. We fight from victory. Confidence is key in any battle. We can have confidence that we win because we are God's children. The accusing, the deceiving lies of the devil, it won't work for Satan because we have true righteousness. Our sins are gone, praise God. And since we've been cleaned up, we live holy. It's harder to play in the mud and the grime after you've had a good bath. And it says the gospel of peace that protects our feet. And I like that word preparation. We're to stay prepared. We're to hide the word of God in our heart. We're to get close to Christ. We're to always be prepared. And the gospel of peace protects our feet. And wherever our battle takes us, the gospel goes with us. In the early church, they were scattered by the hardships. But it was a good thing because the gospel was preached all over the land. When the devil attacks us, if we use our problems for a pulpit, we'll win the battle. The devil won't be as apt to put problems in our way if we are prepared to tell the gospel to those he sends our way. He may just look for an easier target, one that they're with their shoes off, one that's not prepared. Keep tracts in your pocket, your purse. Give them everywhere you go. Use every situation as an opportunity to invite people to church or tell someone about Christ. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, taking the shield of faith. above all. God emphasizes the importance of the shield of faith. Now, the Roman soldier had a shield that was nearly as tall as the soldier. And then the soldiers would come together and lock their shields together, and it would make a wall that they could walk behind. And their shields were overlaid with leather and soaked with water. And this wet leather would put out the fiery darts of the enemy. Faith will bring God right into the middle of our situation. If you have faith, you will know that God is in the room with you, in the car with you, in the fire with you. Wherever you are, He's there. He didn't promise we wouldn't go through things, but He did promise to go with us. He didn't keep the three Hebrew boys out of the fire, but He was in there with them. And the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, when the devil tempts us, and of course his three biggest tricks, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, then we can use our shield to escape these temptations, increase in our faith. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He tells us what his three main wiles and strategies are. Normally, our sin will go back to one of these three categories listed in 1 John 2:16. We can realize that God is real, His word is truth, and faith will give us the power to say no to sin, give us the power to say no to the flesh, will give us the power to say no to the things of this world. With faith, we can please God. And it's impossible to please Him without it. And he continues on in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Of course, the helmet protects the head. It protects our brain, our thoughts, our conscience. We couldn't live without our head. We need to think on God and His wonderful salvation each day. We need to think right and defeat the devil. Philippians 4:8. I might even come into the picture here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think. We need to use your brain to do that. Think on these things. So that helmet protects our thinking. We need to think right. We need to think on the things of God. Get our head cleared up. A lot of Christians is messed up in the head. Chasing after anything and everything that this world and Satan throws at them. We have a helmet to protect us. And then the last piece of armor listed here is the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the only offensive weapon. Notice all the weapons that we just mentioned in the whole armor of God. It was all defensive weapons. It's to protect us from the enemy. But now we have a sword to fight back with, an offensive weapon. The Bible is our sword. A lot of people today don't even have a sword. They've been deceived by Satan to believe in one of the perverted so-called translations of our day. The devil knows he cannot destroy God's word, so he's working hard in our day to dilute it, to hide the Bible, cause doubt, cause confusion. God didn't say that. He told Eve all the way back in Genesis 3. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you put in your mind. I can assure you, you won't go wrong by having a pure copy of the Word of God, which is found in the Authorized KJV. But just having the right Bible laying on our coffee table, having the right Bible under our arm on Sunday morning, that's not going to help us. We need to get that Word of God in our hearts. We don't have any ammunition to attack if we don't have the Word of God. God has provided a sword for us to fight with. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Learn how to use our sword. 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, the word of truth is the Bible. God is the word of God. 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they'll increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. These two men were spreading false gospel. They were twisting the word of God to fit their mold. And of course we know who's behind that in this spiritual warfare. So in these verses we see that it does matter how we handle the Word of God. And just knowing a Bible verse is not enough. We need to rightly divide the Word. When we make errors in explaining the Bible, other people get hurt. I take it as an awesome responsibility to be a Sunday school and Bible teacher. I understand that some things I say can help people, but it also could hurt people. Pray for me. I pray before I teach, and I ask God to guard my lips, bridle my tongue, say what I need to say, and not what I want to say, but what He says through me. Back to our text, verse 18, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. One of the most important jobs of a soldier is to be on guard, to be watching out for the enemy. Watchfulness is associated with prayer. Jesus went into the garden to pray. He left his disciples to watch and to pray. They fell asleep. The enemy came. If we're not on guard, the devil will surprise attack. Everything we do needs prayer. We need to really pray for each other. No time, no room for laziness. When we take prayer requests, we need to lift those prayer requests up to God. And isn't it amazing how few prayer requests are for spiritual needs? Most people ask for prayer for physical sickness and such. And that's great, and we should. I'm not belittling that. No. But if we pray more for God to save, sustain people, I wonder how much more we get done. I wonder how many more people would be saved. There's too many people that come through our church doors and go away like they came. We need to be watching and praying. Paul used that word perseverance. Don't give up. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Will I pray for my family members for 10 years? Keep praying. Will I pray for so-and-so all of his life? Keep praying. Too often we'll pray once or twice and say, oh, well, God didn't answer that prayer. No, God says keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on watching. Be like the lady in the parable that was persistent and kept going to the judge till she got what she wanted. Even when things are going good, we need to still pray. Not just in the bad times, the hard times, when we're sick. We need to pray without ceasing. Even when things are good, on the mountaintop, in the valley, and all in between. Prayer has the idea of pouring out, while supplication has the idea of seeking favor or grace. We need to pray in the Spirit. Now, these little childhood prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, God is great, God is good. No, that won't get the job done when you're a mature Christian. Fervent, effectual prayer availeth much. I'm afraid much of the real praying doesn't happen today. And we should pray for all saints. And I've zoomed in on that word saints many times. That's all born again believers. That's all children of God. So why should we pray for all saints? Because all saints are under attack from the wicked enemy. We're all in a spiritual battle. We all need prayer. We all need to lock those shields of faith together, just like those Roman soldiers locked together their shield to create a wall. We need to lock our shield together, that shield of faith, and build a wall of prayer around others. Verse 19 and 20, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, there that word is again, as I ought to speak. Paul had a prayer request. Notice his prayer request wasn't like most of ours. He didn't even ask for things to get easier on him. He didn't ask for the pain to stop. He didn't ask to get out of jail, to be set free. He asked for prayer that he could speak boldly and proclaim the gospel. We need to quit worrying so much about our complaints and start praying and asking for prayer for strength to fight the battles for the Lord. Have we prayed, Lord, give me someone to witness to today? Have we prayed, Lord, make me bold? Lord, help me to proclaim the gospel boldly. Lord, help me to be that ambassador. And of course, we know that an ambassador represents the king of the foreign land. If we send the United States sends an ambassador to Germany, that ambassador represents the king or the president of the United States. Well, we're ambassadors from heaven. Jesus Christ is our King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
We're supposed to be His spokesman. We're representing Him in this foreign country. Yes, if you're saved, heaven is now our home. This is just a journey. We're in a foreign country. We're pilgrims and sojourners passing through. And as we go through, we need to be ambassadors. We need to be proclaiming the gospel. We need to be praying for boldness and revealing the mystery of the gospel of Christ, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We are in enemy territory, but we are His representatives in this country. And we need prayer to fight the enemy. We need prayer to win the battles. The war's been won. We got the victory. But every day there's battles. Every day we need to pray. Every day we need to put on that whole armor. Every day we need to lock our swords of faith with other Christians in fellowship and prayer. And to be an ambassador. The last four verses of this chapter, and we're going to end this quarter of Ephesians. Verse 21 through 24. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, the beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So we find that Paul ends this epistle. He ends this letter. He ends this study. He ends this book by expressing his dependence on a faithful brother, Tychicus. We should be able to depend on faithful brothers and sisters, each other. We need to be at church every time the doors are open. We need to be ready to pray and do for others. Paul prayed for them that God would bless them with peace and love and grace. Paul knew that the battle was won not from without, but from within. So he prayed. Every person who was ever used greatly by God has placed much emphasis on prayer. God listed the armor that we're to wear and topped it off with prayer. There are real people who are lost, needing to hear the gospel all around us. There are hurting, saved people all around us that needs encouraging. There is a real war going on. We are in enemy territory. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to get busy watching and praying. Because it's not going to be long till all the soldiers of war will go home. They're leaving every day. A lot of my heroes in the faith, I could sit here and name them, that stood for God all their life, all these years, just in the past few years, a lot of my heroes of the faith have already gone home. We're not far behind. Life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. We need to get serious about this. Satan is real. This spiritual warfare is real. God is real. The Bible is truth and it's real. This is not a storyline that we need to be play acting each day. I think a lot of people that call themselves Christians needs to start getting real. And to do that, we need to put on our whole armor of God daily. We need to be praying daily. We need to be watching and waiting daily. We need to be ambassadors daily. We need to be getting close to Christ daily. We need to be usable. And then he'll use us. Because when he comes to get us, then there will be an awards day. Strive to obtain that crown. I want to close this book of Ephesians, this quarter, this Sunday school quarter, by just saying God loves you. If you're facing these spiritual battles, put on that whole armor. God will help you. Get close to him and find out. I also want you to know that I love you. I pray that this lesson will help someone. Let's win these daily battles. Because Jesus has already won the war. We already have the victory. We're walking daily already from the victory. So let's don't go around acting like defeated Christians. Let's go around with the confidence that we already have won the war. And with God's help in this whole armor, we're going to win these daily battles as well. May God bless you.